Do you know who Jesus of Nazareth is? That man who lived 2,000 years ago in Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, called the Christ. Do you know who he is? That man was God manifest in the flesh, Scripture said. That man was the creator of this world. God walked this planet. There are multitudes of people today who do not believe that. There are whole denominations that go door to door to try and disprove that Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus Christ is God. The Mormons, the so-called Jehovah Witnesses, all deny his deity, that he is God. Very God of very God, the creator of all things. God manifest in the flesh. But Scripture plainly declares, clearly tells us, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, that Emmanuel, God, was with us. Call his name the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Yes, that man who walked this earth made the earth upon which he walked. He's God. And God came to this world, this sinful, Scripture calls it this present evil world, this vile place full of creatures that hated God. And he came to this world to do a work of redemption, a work of salvation, a work of mercy and grace and, yes, love to some of these unlovely, undeserving, rebellious creatures. No, God does not love every person. There's no one worth loving but God, who's rich in love and mercy, chose some of these fallen creatures to reveal himself to. And he came to this earth to do this work of redemption. Well, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ has been apprehended by a mob of religious people. And the only reason he was apprehended is because he allowed it to happen, because God delivered him up to be apprehended. God is delivering his Son to be the substitute for his chosen people. This was God Almighty standing before men. This is clearly reveals what man really is, and who and what God really is. The story of Christ being crucified reveals man's great sin and guilt and shame, and yet reveals God's great glory, Christ's great glory. The title of this message is When Man Was Faced with God. God, Emmanuel, came, and men laid hold of him, not seeking mercy, not seeking grace, not seeking salvation, but in hatred. And in Luke chapter 22, he stood face to face with the religious leaders of that day. They were the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, elders, the rulers of religion. They were famous men, famous religious leaders, like there are many today on TV and everywhere. And these men hated him. They plotted his murder. And they finally got their hands on him, and they mocked him, and they spit on him, spit in the face of God, and belittled him, and derided him, and made fun of him. The only reason this happened is because he allowed it to happen. God sent him. And the reason, and here's the ultimate reason that's hidden behind all of this, hidden to most, is he was a substitute for his people who deserve such shame. Rebels they were, dead in sin, enemies against God, yet Christ became them. He became their substitute. And he received at the hands of men, at the hands of God, what God's people deserve. But our Lord said to his disciples in John 15, he said, I chose you. You did not choose me. Now, that's the reason men hated him, is because of his sovereign claims that he will do what he will with whom he will. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Jesus Christ of Scripture. Not this one that men claim you must let him do things. No, no. That's a figment of men's imagination. But he told his disciples in John 15, "You have not chosen me, I chose you." He said, "Remember, they hated me before they hated you." And he told them what the world was going to do to them because they did it to him. And here's why he said that men hate him. He said in verse 24, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." He said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no covering for their sin." The Lord Jesus Christ exposed the facade, stripped the facade, the phony covering of religion. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, he said, outwardly you appear to be moral and upright and men of God, but he said, within you're full of extortion and excess, money hungry, praise hungry, glory seeking phonies, fakes. He called them all hypocrites, playing a part. And men believe it, but God knows the heart. He looks on the heart. So they turned their thumbs down on him. They hated him. Men, religion hated him. But someone said, "But preacher, not now. Not in this modern world." That was back then. But not now. We live in a civilized society. No, religion's worse now than it's ever been. They make God to be a bystander in the affairs of men. He can't do anything unless creatures let the Creator do something. Jesus, they've got him outside in the rain, haunting in your heart and knocking on your door, and just so hopeful you'll let him in. Love sick, helpless martyr named Jesus, not mad at anyone, loves everyone. There's no right or wrong in the world, no rules, no need to fear him. He's no threat to anybody's sinful lifestyle. He wants us to be healthy and happy. If we just let him into our lives, he wants to be a part of our life. What mockery! That's not the God of the Bible. That's not Jesus Christ who sits on the throne of heaven, reigning and ruling. God is not mocked, Scripture says. In Revelation 16, it says the whole world someday is going to cry out in a prayer meeting to hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Him whom we have pierced. When Peter preached at Pentecost, his preaching struck fear in the people. The truth will do that. The truth of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and what man is before God. It'll strike fear in people if they ever hear it. No, religion doesn't love the true God. They love the true Jesus Christ of Scripture. They hated him then, they hate him now. Here in chapter 23 of Luke, he's standing before two of these puppet pinhead rulers, Pilate and Herod. Pilate and Herod. Now here stands the King of Kings and Lord of Lords standing before these two little puppet rulers, these two world leaders, two powerful men, power. Pilate, in one of the Gospels, said, "Don't you know I have power to crucify you or to set you free?" And our Lord, with eyes as flame of fire, looked into his face and said, "You have no power over me at all, except it be given you from above." And the same is true with every human being on the planet. These men had no power. They were puppets in the hands of not only men, but in the hands of God, doing as God would have them to do. These men, these rulers, Pilate and Herod, clearly reveal the utter depravity and corruption of the rulers of all nations. Political system is corrupt through and through. They're cowards. They're under the control of popular opinion. They're paid, and they're in men's pockets. That was Pilate, and that was Herod. Back in Daniel chapter 4, Daniel said, powerfully, he said, "The Most High ruleth among the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men." We don't elect rulers. God puts them there according to His will. And He puts bad ones in power because of man's sin and rebellion against Him. Rome. This all happened in Israel under Roman rulers. Rome back then was the seat, the center of modern civilization. Mankind at his highest level. Education, science, technology, politics, arts and crafts. Rich and prosperous civilized world, yet underneath it was vile and corrupt to the core. And God came and exposed it all, and they hated Him for it. He revealed man's true nature. Man is worse than the beasts. Worse than the beasts. The Son of God came. Scripture says He was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. That is, He came to do no harm as a man. He came to save His people. But He's going to do some harm when He comes the next time. He's going to destroy this mess full of people. That's the Christ of Scripture. And this, and why He came and what He did is we should not feel sorry for Him. It should strike fear in us because He did that. He took the place of His people. And every human being deserves what he got, what God did to him, what God allowed men to do to him. It's what we deserve. But the holy, harmless, separate from sinners, generous, kind, pure, lovely, with dove's eyes, Scripture says, came, and here's man. He hated him. Man hated him. You know, the Scripture says that the wrath of man shall praise him. Oh, we need to be thankful that God is slow to wrath, slow to anger. Oh, be thankful that God reigns and rules over evil as well as good. And if not, you better get you some guns. You better stockpile you some guns. If God's not reigning and ruling, you better get you a gun. Because this world is a vile and violent place. Oh, but God's people are thankful. They know that God is, the Son of God is given them an understanding. The Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel, through the Word of God, has given them an understanding that they might know Him that is true, the living and true God, who He really is, holy, 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 and the Son of God, who He is, why He came, revealed who He is, what He did, what He endured, His sovereignly and willingly endured what He did for His people as a substitute. Oh, it brings fear before them. It causes them to bow the knee and kiss the Son. And do you know what this means? In Psalm 2, verse 11, it says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Serve with fear and rejoice with trembling. Oh, my, only God's people know that because He reveals the truth to them. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? This was God who came to this earth. And Scripture says man hates God, but God gives some people whom He has chosen an understanding of who God is and what we deserve before Him and why Jesus Christ came, and they bow the knee to King Jesus Christ and wonder how He could love them and do what He did for them. Oh, may God reveal Himself and His Son to you. Amen.